Wisconsin remains the only state where first offense drunken driving is a civil violation, not a crime. But a bill in the Capitol would change that. It revives a debate that has raged in Wisconsin for decades. To discuss the issue, thanks to my left, two sponsors of that bill, Representative Jim Ott, he's a Republican who represents the 23rd District, and Representative Therese Brousseau, a Democrat, represents the 77th District, and thanks to Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney and John Vose, a volunteer for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Thank you all for coming in. Let's start with you, representatives. Can you talk about your bill and how it would change our current law? Jim, you want to? I don't care. You're co-sponsoring. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're co-sponsoring. What it would do is change it from a civil violation to, as you said, a criminal offense, and you could be fined up to $500. Right now, $300 is the max, and jailed for up to 30 days. So it's pretty simple.
Okay.
An important part of the bill would be that if someone didn't reoffend after that first offense, that first conviction, after 5 years, the conviction would revert to a civil forfeiture. And the reason we did that is because one of the arguments that's made against criminalizing first offense, it's always, well, what about the the college kid, 22 years old, makes one mistake, strapped with a criminal conviction, misdemeanor for the rest of his life. Well, this would give people an opportunity, you know, particularly if they're getting into bad behaviors, change your behaviors, don't reoffend for 5 years, and you don't have that criminal conviction on your record, and hopefully it's an easier chance to get this bill passed than just simply criminalizing first offense.
So your bill would make it a misdemeanor, Therese?
It would make it a misdemeanor, but I think the biggest thing that we can do as part of educating people on this bill is looking at the concept of a mistake. This is a mistake that can kill people. So we can talk about a young person making, quote, a mistake to get behind the wheel, but that's a very big mistake. And so we still see that there's a higher percentage of people who are killed by first-time drunk drivers. Maybe not first-time driving drunk, but first time that they've been caught. So I think that for me, the idea really is get that message out there right away, because I think as a society, we're saying we don't approve of drunk driving. We're devastated when innocent people are killed by drunk drivers. So if we can enforce that message, that cultural, you know, value message, by saying it's not just a mistake like other mistakes, it's a mistake that can kill people. So I think that's
not
the
an
message.
Argument I make that I agree with you, mm-hmm. Therese. It's a serious mistake. Mm-hmm. This is just that perception out there that, well, anybody can make the mistake. Well, it is a serious mistake, and there are a significant number of crashes involving first-time offenders, the fact is that nobody has to drive drunk. It's a decision that someone makes to get behind the wheel when they're impaired, and we realize addictions are involved with this as well. But first time offense is not a simple mistake; it's a serious mistake.
And the penalties again would be a forfeiture of up to $350. Would
no,
it be a
mandatory 500?
500. Excuse me, I wrote that down.
300.
Would it be a mandatory 30 days?
No, it's not mandatory.
Okay.
It's up to 30 days.
Okay. I want to talk to the sheriff and John. Would this be a good public policy change, Sheriff?
Well, I want to echo the representative's statements that this is a serious offense. Even first offense drunk driving is serious because you have that potential that it could result in an accident. There are a multitude of statutes, however, if you're engaged in an accident and cause great bodily harm or death, there are already statutes on the books to address that respective issue. My concern is that we need to send a stronger message through education that Wisconsin does not tolerate drunk driving. If you are drunk, you don't get behind the wheel of a vehicle, and there needs to be a mechanism to do that. However, when we look at multiple offense drunk drivings, this weekend we just experienced a 14th offense drunk driver. 14, 1-4.
What?
And
14 priors convictions?
This was their 14th offense, so 13 prior offenses of drunk driving. Here's an issue that really goes to addiction. This is an individual that really needs to enter the criminal justice system from the perspective of programming and treatment, because this is an individual that I'm sure has driven what are the statistics that you get caught once every 100 times you get behind the wheel of a car drunk, And so just think of the number of times this individual has been involved. When it's second offense and greater, we're talking about a potential, great potential for addiction issues to enter into this.
So do you think their bill would be a step forward on the issue, Sheriff?
What I like is the perspective that without a subsequent OWI arrest, it could then revert to a forfeiture. For that individual that did make a mistake, misjudged the number of drinks that they had and got behind the wheel for their first offense.
And that look back provision is how far?
5 years.
5 years. Thank you. Excuse me. Yeah. Excuse me, Sheriff.
And I like that mechanism. I don't like the idea of criminalizing the first offense without that look back.
Okay.
Can I ask the sheriff? But to me, the sooner we catch people who have a problem, the better.
Yeah, I agree.
And instead of just saying it's a mistake, say, maybe we can get this individual early on in terms of a message, in terms of a diagnostic or whatever. In fact, I would like us to make sure, and I think it does happen, that there's a diagnostic to see what sort of problems this person might have in terms of a predisposition to alcohol addiction. And so the earlier we get people in the system in that regard, the better.
John, thanks for your patience. What's Matt's position on their bill?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me here. And we fully support the bill. It's certainly a step in the right direction. One of Matt's cornerstones in combating drunk driving has been deterrence. And a bill like this would certainly increase the level of deterrence out there. We have also long believed that getting behind the wheel of a car after you've been drinking is a criminal act, is a criminal offense, and this does in fact criminalize it. And also agree that the earlier we prevent this, the earlier we stop it. So this bill will have multiple effects. It will certainly assuage the people who are concerned about, I did one thing wrong, when I was younger, and so I don't want that blemish on my, entire life. We do feel a little strongly that it's far more than a mistake. It's something that people should significantly be aware of, that, it's prohibited. You shouldn't do it. You look at, we are one of the very, very few states that doesn't criminalize the first offense. And if you look at what some other countries do across the world, especially Europe, the first offense is a very significant fine and significant jail time, over what we have here. Certainly not where we want to go with that, at this point, but I appreciate the effort that both of you are making to this, and we will lend our full support to it.
You have both been working on this issue and offering different bills for a number of years. Do you think this one will at least get a public hearing, Representative Ott? Do you?
If I have anything to say about it, it certainly will. I will push very hard to get a public hearing on this, and love to get an exec on it, whichever committee it's sent to.
Okay. And you, a few years ago, wanted to raise the beer tax, and that part of that was to raise money for some of these issues, right, Representative?
Well, because we obviously need treatment programs, and a lot of counties are struggling in terms of being able to offer those treatment programs. And when I talked to DAs, one of the issues that when I worked on the beer tax was them saying, we were overwhelmed, first of all, with our caseload, but also we know that nothing's necessarily going to happen because there isn't a place to put a lot of these people. So I think that's something we need to take a serious look at. And I was disappointed when the governor's conference on highway safety this year did not have one session on drinking and driving, okay, which made no sense to me. But I think that one of the more we talk about this, the better, in addition to technology changes and people's driving habits, but the more we talk about it, we reflect our values, and people get the message. And we can look at statistics in terms of other times when we've actually enacted a law, like the seatbelt law or smoking, and it did result in a big change in statistics. And I think we're heading down that path, and hopefully we're going to get there. And if the best thing this does is continue to reinforce the message and keep more people, get more people thinking about it for whatever reason. They don't want the criminal record, but they also, they're hearing us talk about it. I think that's a big public service right there.
Okay. Getting ready for the show, I asked for updated numbers from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. on drunk driving issues over the last 10 years. So let's look at those. Let's look at OWI arrests statewide. 2004, 45,000. 2014, 29,000. That's a drop of 34%. I was surprised by this. Am I just naive, Sheriff? Are you surprised by this?
In looking at the numbers, I'm not surprised that we're seeing a decrease. There has been an emphasis on education and an emphasis at the state on enforcement. Just in the past 2 years, we've been the recipients of multiple enforcement grants targeting drunk drivers. And in 2015, we saw a broad collaboration between municipalities working on drunk driving enforcement throughout the state on particular initiatives. And each of those have resulted in larger arrest numbers than we've seen in the past. As well, money's put into educational programs, public service announcements, that have had an impact on, I believe, dropping the number of drunk driving arrests.
Okay, and the second figure that also surprised me is OWI convictions statewide, 24,000 in 2004, 15,000 in 2014, a drop of even bigger than the number of arrests, 37,000. Any observations from anybody? Am I the only one surprised by this number?
I'm not that much surprised by it, Steve. I do think, I've been around a little longer than I think a lot of people on the panel here, so I can remember back in the late 50s, early 60s, the attitude toward drunk driving, like New Year's Eve, getting drunk. It was like a big joke was kind of made out of it. It was kind of funny. I think we take it much more seriously today, so that's important. And I'm so glad to see the numbers improving. I think any kind of improvement, we all welcome that. I guess what I would point out, if you're looking at that number of arrests in 2014, that comes out to 81 arrests a day in Wisconsin.
Good point.
Seven days a week. And the sheriff mentioned that a person drives maybe 100 times in between being caught. And I've heard first offenders drive drunk 70 to 80 times before they're caught the first time. So let's be conservative and say it's 70 times before a person is arrested. That comes out to more than 5,000 drunk drivers a day on Wisconsin roads 7 days a week. If you look at those conviction numbers, 66 convictions a day. 7 days a week, and if you go with the 70 times in between, over 5,000 drunk driving convictions every single day in Wisconsin. So the question, I guess, is what's the end game? Are we satisfied with those numbers, or do we have to improve more? I would say we have to improve more, but I'm delighted to see the numbers improving.
John, Matt has been working with lawmakers like Representatives Ott and Berceau on some of these things, and there have been some major changes in our drunk driving laws, and they've played roles in them. But numbers like this, a 37% drop in convictions, is Wisconsin winning is too strong, but how much better are we doing, sir?
Well, we are slowly winning the battle. We still have a long way to go, but I agree with the comments that have been made on your question so far, in that we have seen significant improvements in awareness, both through public service announcements, both through the efforts of the sheriffs and local law enforcement throughout the state of Wisconsin, also from the federal level. In 2010, Wisconsin, much thanks to our legislators, passed a great bill that required ignition interlocks for all repeat offenders and for all first-time offenders who blow a .15 or higher. Now, that alone, the deterrent factor of that, of putting one in your car, being aware that you put one in the car, that's pretty embarrassing, to people. And the younger generation is getting it. One of the advantages there we have with the internet and with all of the, very fast communication, is that people are seeing, the reactions and what happens in a drunk driving accident. And people are realizing, the intense pain and suffering, that's seen out there. And so what we're seeing is all the numbers going down, not just arrests and convictions going down, but fatalities are going down. Drunk driving accidents are going down. The fact that we had a 31% drop in drunk driving fatalities in the last 5 years is a significant testament to the work that's being done out there. Now, 162 fatalities in 2014 was still far too high, which is why we still have a lot of good work left to do. But we'll get there, but we are making improvements thanks to
Sheriff,
a concerted effort.
Do you and your officers perceive a change in how drinkers now behave? Is there a much greater reality of these tougher laws? And is that one of the reasons for the 37% drop in convictions?
You know, when I talk to people, and John brings up a very good point with our younger generation, I think through the educational process surrounding drunk driving, as well as, you know, the initiatives of law enforcement, our court system, we now have a OWI court here in Dane County. Unfortunately, there's far more clients than there are spaces in court. So we only target a specific segment of the drunk driving population. But as I talk to young people, we've changed the behavior. Where it used to be acceptable to sit around and drink all night and then get behind the wheel of a car, I think the younger generation does get it.
Yeah.
And I think that they are far more cognizant of the impacts of being involved in a fatal accident or even a major injury accident,
okay,
which really should be our target initiative.
I asked representatives of the Tavern League in Wisconsin to go to the show, and they said they couldn't because of scheduling problems, but they did offer this statement that I want to read quickly. They're not in favor of your bill. There's no big surprise there, Representative. We will continue to support programs like Safe Ride and legislation targeted to repeat offenders and high BAC offenders. Wisconsin has experienced a nearly 50% decrease in alcohol-related fatalities in the past 10 years. The tremendous increase in our Safe Ride program and increased treatment programs have proven to be an effective tool in keeping people from driving while impaired. So if this was a public hearing on your bill, this is what perhaps Mr. Madlin, the executive director of the Tavern League, would testify. Do you have a response to him, either of you?
Well, I guess it gets to something the Representative Ott said. There's still too much. And when I look at nearly 2,700 people in 2014 who were severely injured in drunk driving accidents and 162 people killed, that's not insignificant. I guess I look at their statement and I don't know. I admit I do not know the statistics that support whether or not Safe Ride has been one of the reasons. I take a look at an urban area like our cities where we have campuses and we have young people working, that they are much less likely to care about wanting to have a car. That's one of the trends we're seeing as well. So I don't know. There's a lot, I think a lot of things feeding into the statistic in terms of the numbers going down, but I still think, you know, when we hear of a drunk driving death like the one we had a number of years ago, I think it was in the Waukesha area, and it was a mother who picked up her kids from school or something. She died, one of the children, and I think she was also expecting a child, and that child died. People were devastated. The family was devastated. They were in the Capitol for days and months afterwards, which I'm sure Representative Ott remembers that. I think we'd all like to see that number be zero. And so I just don't know if we can say that it's because of the Safe Ride program that numbers are going down, or the other statement that they make, treatment programs. I think that our sheriff said one of the issues is that we don't have treatment programs for everybody who might need it. And so I think that I don't know that there's been an increase in treatment programs.
Any other response to
what I will say in the public hearing, and I'm being optimistic, what I will say in the public hearing, the statistics that Representative Brousseau mentioned in the data you have, that number of fatalities, if you divide it by 365, that means every other day in Wisconsin, 365 days a year, someone is killed in a drunk driving crash. Sometimes it's a drunk driver, sometimes it's innocent third party. 7 to 8 injuries per day in drunk driving crashes, 365 days a year. I can tell you, Steve, that if we had someone being killed in Wisconsin by a tornado every other day, if we had 7 to 8 injuries a day from tornadoes in Wisconsin, nobody would stand for that. We'd be talking about better radars, better forecasting. This is happening. Those are the numbers. Even though they're improved, it's still very bad. And I'm sorry, Sheriff, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Sheriff, and then John, if you want to...
You know, particularly in our rural communities, you know, I saw this summer, as I have every summer as Sheriff, that the Tavern League's Safe Rider program has had a significant impact when individuals get on the bus at the end of a festival, beer tent, and get a ride home, get in a cab, fully funded by either the State Tavern League or in, here in Dane County, or Dane County Tavern League. It's one less person on the road that is under the influence, one less potential accident. You know, there were two incidents I'm aware of at a local festival where individuals were encouraged to enter the riders program, Safe Rider program, didn't, were followed by friends, and both died as a result of accidents for not engaging in that program. I think it's a very valuable program, and I do think that it has an impact in lowering our numbers.
John, any comment on the Tavern League?
Yeah, I'm glad the Tavern League is running the Safe Ride program. But I think the reality is, if we really look at the numbers, it's a very minority of people who are walking out of a tavern and using the Safe Ride program. And it leads to the statistics that Representative Brousseau just mentioned. We have a long way to go to this. And the fact is that offering a ride to someone is no different than, you know, saying, hey, I'll, you know, take your keys, designated driver, that kind. All those options are out there today, but it's not stopping drunk driving. Okay. And the Safe Ride program alone is an even combination, you know, of treatment programs is not going to be enough to stop that. This effort, you know, this bill will go a long way to, again, deter people from getting behind the wheel of a car in the first place and then maybe using the Safe Ride program.
Well, sure.
You know, along with being sheriff, I'm also the safety officer for the local chapter of Harley Owners Group. And the program, unfortunately, it's defunded now, but there was a program that allowed taverns to provide a storage facility for motorcycles. And during that funding period, there was a significant drop in motorcycle OWI-related offenses, because one of the biggest contributors to motorcyclists engaging in OWI behavior is the fact they don't want to leave their motorcycle unprotected at a local tavern. So there's a higher propensity to get on that motorcycle. When we funded programs that allowed for a storage facility to be provided to safely house that vehicle, that motorcycle, motorcyclists took advantage of it.
Okay. Given the Tavern League statement, I did then ask WSDOT for some new numbers on the number of fatals, because the Tavern League statement talked about the drop in the fatals. So let's look at those. Alcohol-related crashes. 2004, 8,900 accidents, 295 fatal, 326 killed, 6,211 injuries. And fast forward to 2014, you had 4,000 drop in the number of accidents. You had, I think that's where the Tavern League is referring to, 147 fatal accidents, killing 162, 2,694 injuries. There are some dramatic decreases here. Does anybody want to talk about, again, this? We still have 162?
Every other day someone killed every on the roads by, or in a drunk driving crash on Wisconsin roads throughout the year, every other day.
Okay. Any other?
I think these statistics, I'm sorry, proves that the efforts that we've been making so far, based on data, based on research, based on great cooperation from law enforcement, have been having an impact. I mean, that's really what these numbers show. So a combination of efforts across the board have shown that if you have high visibility law enforcement, if you have high visibility communication, the media has been wonderful, you know, on this whole topic, you know, basically getting it out in front of the public and making the public aware of this. The legislators have been wonderful too. I say my biggest chagrin in Wisconsin is the most substantive legislation that was passed on drunk driving was in 2010 with the ignition interlock, you know, law. We need to go further, and I hope, and I know Representative Ott has tried many times, you know, to work hard. But it's a coalition, and I love to see the coalition come together on both sides of the aisle. I can't compliment you both enough, you know, for that. And we need to see more of that. And you know, the more good bills we get passed like this one, the more these numbers will further go down.
And by the way, that 2010 bill passed the assembly by a vote. I think it was 95-1. So yep. Definitely bipartisan support. I introduced a number of bills last session, didn't do a real good job getting them passed. We did pass three of four of them in the assembly, but they didn't get through the Senate. I have some of those same bills out again this year and this session, and we're going to try again to get them passed. And a lot of them deal with repeat offenders and people who kill people on the road. You know, homicide below WI, no mandatory minimum sentence for that in Wisconsin, and we hear from families where somebody got a year or two in jail or prison for killing someone, and we're not talking about reckless driving. We're talking about homicide with OWI, crossing the center line and, you know, in the middle of the day. It's not a dark, rainy night. So I think there's a number of places where we can shore up our laws and bring them into the, you know, current time. And you know, I'm not suggesting, Steve, that tougher laws are the only issue. I realize it's a complex issue. It's going to take complex solutions, but I do think that's part of the solution, and that's what legislators can work on. We can look at the laws.
Are you offering the bill that if you're charged, you must have a mandatory court appearance?
First offenders must appear in court. Some counties they do in Wisconsin already, but it's not a state
law. It's
not
universal statewide.
And so we're going to push that one again. And again, it's just a matter of getting that first offender in front of the judge, not sending in the fine, not sending your attorney, just to see what road they might be heading down, and again, maybe change behavior before there's a second offense.
Okay. You know, Representative Ott has been a real champion on this issue, which is why I went after, I had hoped, money for treatment programs. But he really has been out front for years working on this issue. I do think it's interesting to look at the statistics and wonder what else is feeding into it, because everything I'm reading is that in urban areas we have less people driving, period. A lot of the, you know, the younger crowd, whether they be college or early career or whatever, they're not owning cars. So it'd be interesting to see the patterns in Wisconsin if that's part of, I think there's any number of factors that might be feeding into that. But the bottom line is, what number do we consider acceptable? Because innocent people are they supposed to be collateral damage to, you know, looking away on some of these issues? You know, when you look at 162 people who are dead, and it's something that we can fix. It's not an easy fix, we found, but it's, you know, it's happening. So I commend Representative Ott for sticking this out and working on it session after session.
Would there be a symbolic change if someone charged with first offense OWI would have to go to court, John?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I've used the word a couple of times, but the deterrence factor of, you know, people realizing that I have to stand in front of the judge, I have to, you know, it's an embarrassment to people, to most people, you know, who get stopped, you know, and so they're going to realize that, hey, I don't want to put my family through that, I don't want to put me through that, I don't want to jeopardize my career. I mean, think of the number of people who, you know, have to drive, you know, for a living, and so when you raise that awareness to people, yes, it's going to stop some people. And I'd just like to just maybe add one comment, you know, to your fine remarks, is that from our position, you know, we have a zero tolerance. Our objective as an organization is to totally eliminate drunk driving. And people may think that, well, you're crazy, that's unrealistic. In my lifetime, we will be able to do it. A lot of it's going to be technology, but a lot of the social, all of the areas that we're talking about are going to play a role in it.
Any PS on mandatory first appearance if you're charged, Sheriff?
I think there is some deterrent factor to it. It also allows the courts to, as Representative Ott said, to take a look at this individual and maybe identify some potential for reoffending.
Okay. Just one final graphic because we're running low on time here. A drinking driver crashes by prior OWI history. 2004, you had 262 crashes involving those with previous offenses. 58% of those had no priors, 42% one or more priors. Of those with priors, 21% had two or more. Let's fast forward to 2014. 134 crashes, 51% no priors, 49% one or more priors, 21% two or more priors. Sheriff, let me ask you this. 42% one or more priors in 2004, 49% one or more priors in 2014. This goes to, is this a statistical significant change, sir?
Well, I think, it goes to the potential for addiction issues, and in this case, addiction to alcohol. And those are the issues that we need to put more effort into, is addressing an individual who's addicted to alcohol, who continues to get behind the wheel of the car. You know, John pointed out technology. The technology's out there today to eliminate drunk drivers. It is possible today. If motor vehicle manufacturers would put an alcohol sensor into that vehicle that prevented it from starting with the presence of alcohol, there would be no drunk drivers, period. And we've seen that with, with the ignition interlocks. However, that can be defeated as well. We've seen instances where, matter of fact, this summer we had a couple instances where young children were kept in the car while the adult drank in the vehicle. We got the call because of an abandoned child, and as it turned out, the child was brought along to breathe into the ignition interlock so that they could start the vehicle. I like the idea, and the technology is there, but it would require the understanding and the acceptance of the manufacturing industry to put it into a vehicle where it just simply won't start if there's the alcohol presence inside that vehicle.
Okay.
Well, you mentioned the 50s and 60s. Mandatory seat belts were a thought that were foreign to people. And now everybody grows up and you're just used to it. And there'll be a point in time where that's exactly what will happen, is we'll have that technology in cars and people will be used to it and they'll be comfortable with it and they'll know that it's there. We're a little ways away, from getting there. So until then.
Steve, the number that jumps out for me in this graph is that 51% in 2014 of people involved in crashes had no prior convictions. Yeah. And yeah. I think that shows the seriousness, again, of that so-called mistake of driving drunk the first time, being caught the first time. You haven't been caught before, and half of them get into crashes before they're caught the first time. The other thing with the technology, we have seen incredible increases in technology in automobiles in the last 30, 40 years. Our cars have catalytic converters on them now, and I think we pay an extra $200 or so per car because of those. Mm-hmm. But because of that, we don't have the ozone alerts like we used to have, because it cuts down the precursors, and it was something that, it took a while to get it there, but we got there. So I think there is hope definitely for the technology issue and, automobile manufacturers and drunk driving.
Well, maybe a final question for each of you, since we're almost out of time. Wisconsin has made progress on drunk driving, but John, go first. Finish that.
We need to continue the battle. It's a collective battle that we all need to fight to get today, and we need to recognize that there's still far too many people getting injured and killed on our roads in Wisconsin.
Sheriff Butt?
Our target should be zero motor vehicle deaths as a result of OWI. We need to put more resources into education, more resources into enforcement, and working collaboratively with individuals like our Tavern League and their Safe Rider program, and we will continue to reduce those numbers.
Representative Purcell, but
I think every time we hear of a drunk driving death, we are all affected. No, it could be us. It could be us driving down the road. And in fact, I think of that if I'm out at night driving, somebody could cross the center line. This is, as all participants here have said, something that we can fix. And I hope we do, because every time there's a needless death, I'm just thunderstruck that people aren't more outraged. But I think the public is, but then it goes away again. So,
thank you. Representative Ott?
But just read the newspaper, the crime section, see how many drunk drivers were caught in your community in the last week since the paper was published last. Look at some of the crashes, and you just hear too much of this. And I entirely agree, you got to have a goal, and if the goal is zero, that works fine for me. And I realize that's not going to happen next year or the following year. The other thing, we're talking about laws. I do think education is very important. Programs like what you're doing here, Steve. Last session I didn't do too well in getting my bills passed, but we had a lot of discussion, a lot of media on it, and I think the more people are aware that, number one, this is a problem. Number two, even with some of our laws being on the lenient side right now, first offense, civil forfeiture, going to cost you a load of money right now, and I think more money than most people would like to pay. So I think to get it out there that even right now, it's serious. You're going to get in serious trouble if you're caught for drunk driving, but still we got a lot to do to get toward that goal of zero.
Thank you. I want to thank Representative Jim Ott, Representative Therese Purcell, Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney, and John Vose, a volunteer for MAD, for talking about a very important subject. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.